Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. He's got to be the goofiest looking farmer that I have ever seen. And when you stand in the pulpit of the Conyers Presbyterian Church in Rockdale County, you can't help but notice him, because for almost a century now, he's been frozen in time. He's captured in a circular stained glass window that sits above the balcony in the rear of the sanctuary. In Conyers, they affectionately call him the sower. But to my eye, he doesn't look much like a Georgia farmer. No, he actually looks more like something out of Robin Hood or an old English tale, because he's wearing a green tunic over what looks to be really tight yellow tights. And he's got these goofy pointed boots, and he's wearing a hat that's about two sizes too big. American Gothic, this is not. And he's not carefully studying his field. No, he's practically skipping or dancing his way through his fields. And he's got one arm outstretched. His bag of seeds is kind of flopping on his hip. And the seeds are scattering hither and yon. He looks almost like a ballet dancer. Not to put too fine a point on it, but he just looks ridiculous. And every Sunday, whoever is standing in the pulpit of the Conyers Presbyterian Church is confronted with this image of this goofy, gleeful sower skipping his way over the heads of the gathered people of God. As most of you know, this winter and spring, we've been making our way through the gospel according to Mark. Thus far in our story, Jesus' ministry has been centered in the villages and towns nestled along the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee, but word is beginning to spread, and people are coming from near and far to hear this one who teaches with authority, to visit this one who has power to heal the injured and cure the sick, who, it said, even has the power to forgive sin. And so I invite you now to listen for a word from God as we pick up our story in Mark chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. Again, Jesus began to teach by the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. Jesus began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched since it had no root. It withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." When Jesus was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root, and they endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Can you just imagine what must have been going through the people's minds when Jesus began describing this goofy farmer to them? The region in and around the Sea of Galilee was then and is now arid and rocky. Seed, as it was then and is now, is precious and often expensive. Even the most inexperienced farmer would naturally be inclined to carefully prepare the soil and then do their best to ensure that not a single seed is wasted. And Jesus describes this sower who goes around skipping, scattering seeds willy-nilly. The sower who seems to have no regard for where any of it lands. Some just thrown on the path. Some carelessly flung into the bushes. Seeds scattering through the air so far and wide it's practically raining seeds. And yes, we do hear at the very end that some seed makes it into good soil, and those seeds, one seed yields 30 and 60 and 100 fold, and that's a miracle. But still, in the minds of those hearers, imagine what a fool the sower must be to go scattering precious seed hither and yon. I imagine much of the crowd was left sort of scratching their heads trying to figure out what Jesus is driving at. Perhaps a few of them even went away clucking their tongues, saying he needs to stick to carpentry and leave the farming to us. But later that evening, when it was just Jesus and the 12 and a few others, the conversation came up again, and they said, and this is Ryan's much revised translation of Mark's biblical Greek. They said, hey, Jesus, can we go back to that story you told about that sower? What was that all about? Can you run it by us again? And Jesus, with a twinkle in his eye and a smile, kind of motions for everybody to come closer, and he lowers his voice and he says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And I imagine they just looked at him like, you're looking at me right now. Like, okay, what is it? Are you going to tell us? And as you might imagine, that's been the subject of much biblical interpretation over the years. But here's what I think the secret is. Here's the secret in this parable. The bag of seeds that the sower carries, it's bottomless. There's no limit to the amount of available seeds for sowing. In the kingdom of God, then, unlike the kingdoms of this world, in the kingdom of God, the sower need not worry and fret about where the seeds may fall. He or she can just skip and twirl and dance their way through the fields with joy and thanksgiving, because in the kingdom of God, the sower knows where the seed comes from. The sower knows the one who made the seed and the sun and the rain. The secret is that in the kingdom of God, the bag of seeds is bottomless and there is overflowing grace. There is extravagant generosity. There is overflowing, everlasting abundance from the one who made the seeds and gives them to the sowers to cast willy-nilly hither and yon. It's a strange little story, isn't it, that Jesus tells? And he begins it even cryptically. He says, a sower went out to sow. I'm like, okay. It's like saying, a preacher went out to preach. Well, yeah, that's what you do. But I thought about that, and I thought about that window in Conyers and that goofy hat that sower wears, and I thought about you. And I thought about how many different hats you wear in your life on a given day or in a given week. Some of you are parents, some of you are children, some of you are students, some of you are teachers, some of you are leaders in business, and government and the academy. You wear many, many different hats. And Jesus could have just as easily begun this parable like this. A teacher went out to teach. A leader went out to lead. A learner went out to learn. A parent went out to parent. A disciple went out to disciple. And it dawns on me that in all those different hats that we all wear, that you wear, you've been given the title of sower. Because of the life and death and resurrection of this strange rabbi from Galilee, we call Jesus the Christ. God has called you in all those things that you do to be a sower of seeds. Some of the seeds have names like love, grace, a sower of seeds of patience, seeds of gentleness, kindness, generosity. In all the different hats that you wear, God has called you to be a sower of seeds. And that can be hard work. It can be disappointing to see the seeds that you have sown, seeds of love and grace and mercy and justice, to see them gobbled up by the birds, or at my house by the deer, or scorched by the sun. Some of you, just this week, I know, have had the experience of trying to sow a seed of peace and seen it be picked up off the path and thrown back in your face. It can be hard work to be a sower. But here's the good news of the gospel. You'll never run out. In the kingdom of God, there is no limit to the amount of seeds available. So there's no need for us to fret or stress or worry about the ones that fall on the path or in the bushes or on the rocky soil. We just reach into the bag and scatter some more, giving thanks and praise all the while to the one who causes the sun and the rain to shine and to fall on the just and unjust alike. But just know this, you're in on the secret that the bag is bottomless. But even so, there are others who will see what you're doing and call you goofy or worse. Some might even cluck their tongues and shake their heads at you and say, "Why are you wasting seeds over there?" Don't worry about it. Jesus is teaching his disciples right now. This is an occupational hazard of being a disciple of Jesus. You just keep sowing because there's no bottom. You will never run out of seeds of God's grace or mercy or justice. So you can skip and twirl and dance your way through the fields because you're in on the secret. I'm mindful that tomorrow our country will mark a holiday in which we remember a Georgia preacher who was born not very far from here, and I think he understood himself to be a sower of seeds, seeds of equality, of justice, seeds of nonviolence and kindness. Not just here in Georgia or in the South, but throughout the world, there is no question some of those seeds fell on the path and among the rocks and the thorns. Some of those seeds were thrown right in his face. No doubt some, including, by the way, his fellow clergy, clucked their tongues at him and said, "Why are you bothering? Call him a fool. A troublemaker, a communist." When this particular sower used his voice to protest an unjust war in Southeast Asia, the then sitting president of the United States called him a name I will not repeat from this pulpit. And yet he continued to scatter seeds here, there, everywhere, right up until the day a bullet took his life before he was even 40 years of age. Tried to kill the sower. It's too late because some of the seed fell on the good soil. And those single seeds of justice and love and kindness and righteousness and mercy that continue to create a yield to this very day, 30, 60, 100-fold. See, that sower was in on the secret, and so are you and I. There's no bottom to the bag because it belongs to the one who makes the seed and causes it to grow. Earlier this week, I came across an old song that was popular when I was in high school, so you know it's old, really old song. But the lyrics spoke to me this week. It says this: one hand reaches out and pulls a lost soul from harm, while a thousand more go unspoken for, and they say, "What good have you done by saving just this one?" It's like whispering a prayer in the fury of a storm. And I hear them saying, "You'll never change things. And no matter what you do, it's always the same thing. But it's not the world that I am changing. What I do is so this world will know that it will not change me." You and I together, in this thing we call the church, we sow seeds. It's not the world that we're changing. What we do is sow so that the world will know it will never change us. Thanks be to God. Amen.